Our reading for Friday, May 29th, begins in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like the Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We could keep going, but as is the case when you're reading through the epistles, it's difficult sometimes to find a good stopping point and say, this is a good chunk to look at and get the whole idea, for he really builds one idea upon another. But let's go back and think about everything. Paul has pointed out his apostleship. He has pointed out that there is no other gospel. He has pointed out that he was called by God and that he preaches to please God and not men. He points out his acceptance by the other apostles. But then in chapter 2, verse 11, he includes this account about Peter and says that he opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Obviously, because of what went on with Peter, there was a need to address Peter face to face and point out his hypocrisy. And it was likely needed for that to be done publicly in order for the message to get across to those whom Peter was influencing at the same time. But then we might have that question, well, then why is he telling the Galatians about it? Well, I think it comes down to those that were teaching the adherence to the old law, as he calls them, the circumcision party, that Peter feared them. In other words, what he's saying is that Peter wanted their approval and their friendship. He wanted to be accepted by them. And even for those that are righteous, even those that work very hard at doing the will of God and being faithful, it's a very easy trap to fall into to want the approval of men, especially some of those that either hold an amount of influence or that we are influenced by and we look up to. I'm not sure what the case is here with Peter, but we can understand how easy this trap would be. well, I can eat with the Gentiles and I can be with them and I can get along with them. They'll be my friends. I'll influence them. And then when the Jews are around, I'll go over there and I'll do the same with the Jews and maybe I can keep both of them happy. But what Paul points out is, what does Peter become? He becomes a respecter of persons. He starts showing partiality toward the Jews. Now, how would that make a Gentile feel? Well, the Gentile would feel, after observing this, perhaps some shame at being a Gentile, some discouragement, some feeling like he's less than those other Jews. And then when it comes down to the false teaching that is going around about them keeping some of the old law, even though they be Gentiles, how would they respond to that? Well, they would probably give in to that. And that's exactly what Paul is fighting against with the Galatians. So I think that's why he includes it here, that he tells this quick story about Peter for him to point out that even apostles can get tied up in some of these things, but it's important to realize that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we. So verse 14, he saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And then he uses that to go into, where does our justification come from? Now, being a Jew by birth really didn't mean anything. They weren't going to get commended because they were Jews by birth. Did they have certain birthrights as Jews? Sure, they were the recipients of the old scriptures. They were recipients of the favor of God when they were faithful to him. They had a relationship with God that was not available to the Gentiles. However, under the New Testament, under Christ, they're all the same when they come to Christ, when they are obedient to him by faith. So, verse 16, he says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. In other words, they can't be saved because they did works of the law. Your version there, instead of a person is not justified, yours might say counted righteous. So a person is not counted righteous by works of the law. So we cannot earn our salvation, no matter how good we are and how many good things we do, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But he goes on to say, through faith in Jesus Christ, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Now, we've previously discussed the balance that we must take when we read these particular passages. Paul is addressing directly the concept of, can I be saved by works of the law? And so he's going to point out that you need faith. That doesn't mean that works play no part in our salvation. You could go to Titus chapter 3 and look at Paul stating in verse 1 that we are all to be ready for every good work. Then down in verse 14, devote ourselves to good works, not to be unfruitful. So there's plenty of scripture that tells us that good works are required of a child of God. And there are certain things that we have to do by faith in order to take advantage of the blood of Christ. We have to be willing to confess his name. We have to be willing to repent. We have to be willing to be obedient and be baptized for the remission of sins, living faithfully. Those are all things that the scriptures reveal to us as part of our acceptance of the covenant of God. So he's not saying that works play no part whatsoever in our salvation. What he's saying is you can't be saved simply by doing good things or even doing lawful things. By works of the law, no one will be justified. So verse 17, if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. So he's just trying to give this balance, if you will, and to point out to them how futile it is to really begin to think that, well, by circumcision or by keeping of feasts or, you know, washings and different things that the Jews might teach them, that they could attain righteousness through those things. He says that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. And he tops that off with verse 21 when he says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. In other words, if we truly could be saved by the keeping of the law, then we would not have needed Christ. But indeed, we did need Christ because we needed the grace of God. And so in verse 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So not only is the grace of God required, but the grace of God is a motivator. It pushes us toward that obedient faith, if we truly understand it, if we truly believe it. So we need to live to God. The Galatians needed to live to God. And so they did not need to be made captive by these other teachings and this other gospel which they had not received before. So we're going to get into chapter 3 tomorrow. So please come back at that time and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.